Let me ask you, if you would, tonight, take your Bible and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. And we're going to continue this evening the series that we've been in on Sunday nights, Great Verses of the Bible. And this is simply where we take one verse of the Bible and we dip into it and pull from it some of its riches. The book of Philippians is one of the most quoted books in all of the Bible. And rightfully so, because so many of its themes are of an optimistic and a positive nature. For instance, in the book of Philippians, Paul takes up the theme of love in chapter 1. And in chapter 1 and in verse 8, Paul talks about his love or his affection for the brethren at Philippi. In the very next verse, in verse 9 of chapter 1, Paul says that when I pray for you, he says, I pray that your love will abound more and more toward each other. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul also takes up the theme of joy or rejoicing. In fact, this is a very major theme in the four chapter book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul says to rejoice in the Lord always. Then he says, let me say it again, rejoice. And so the book of Philippians is a book that themes over and over again about joy and rejoicing in the Lord. Another theme that Paul strikes up in the book is the theme of peace, and specifically the peace of God. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. What does that mean? That God's peace is beyond our human comprehension to understand it, but that peace can guide your heart, that is your emotions, and your mind, that's your intellect. So Paul strikes up this theme of the peace of God. In the book of Philippians, Paul also strikes on the theme of contentment. And in chapter 4 and in verse 11, Paul talks about, you know, I know what it is to have everything. I know what it is to have nothing. I know what it is to be with and to be without. But Paul says in verse 11 of chapter 4, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So all of these themes come about in the book of Philippians. Now, let's turn and head toward the sermon. Without question, the most quoted book in the book of Philippians is found in chapter 4, look down at verse 13. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now that verse is beautiful. Amen? It's beautiful. But that verse, brethren, is also challenging. And most everybody in here knows that verse, Philippians 4:13. I dare say that most of us in here can quote that verse. But have you really studied that verse to see what it says? What is really involved in that great verse of the Bible? Now, I want to ask you to take out a pen. I want to ask you to take out a sheet of paper of some kind. And I'm going to give you 6 words tonight. 6 words. And all 6 of these words are involved in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 13. And so I want you to write down these 6 words, then I want you to go home. I know you won't do it tonight because of what's coming on at 6:30, but I want you to go home and then sometime tomorrow or sometime this week, I want you to take these 6 words and I want you to relate them to our great verse of the Bible tonight, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, because each one of these 6 words are going to relate to that one verse. So you go home, take these words, go home, take your Bible and make the markings so that these things will relate to the verse. What is involved in Philippians 4:13? Number one, the first word I want you to write down is this, and that is the word accountability. Accountability. Paul starts by saying, I, brethren, has to do with accountability. And specifically, I has to do with personal accountability. That's accountability. Now, all of us here who are Christians and who have been for any length of time, all of us here understand that as Christians, we gain strength and help from other Christians. We do. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul says to bear one another's burden. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 11, Paul exhorts the church at Thessalonica. He says, I want you to encourage each other and I want you to build up each other just as you are doing. So all of us understand, we gain strength, we gain edification, we gain help by strengthening and helping and encouraging and bearing each other's burdens. All of us understand that. We get that, right? But there is a lot in life where we must stand alone. We must stand alone. In Galatians 6 and in verse 5, Paul says each man must bear his own burden. And a lot of people say, well, now in verse 2, he says we should help bear each other's burdens. And 3 verses later, he says each man should bear his own burden. That's a contradiction. Not at all. You see, in life, there are some burdens that you can help me bear.
You can help me to carry them. But there are others that I got to take care of myself. I take care of myself. Paul said, That is accountability. Now, listen to what Jesus said. As Jesus wrote to the church at Thyatira through the hand of John, the Revelator, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23, Jesus said, I am the one who searches the hearts and minds. And then he said, I will reward each man according to his own work. That is personal accountability. That's personal accountability. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, in talking about giving, Paul says that each one must give as he has been prospered. It doesn't make any difference what the congregational giving is. You have a personal accountability to this. Now listen, Paul said, I. First word is accountability. I. Second word, I want you to write it down, is the word attitude. Attitude. Paul said, I can. I can. I can expresses the proper attitude. It expresses the proper attitude. Let me illustrate. Here are two people who, and I see this all the time, and you do too. Two people go through exactly the same situation. Exactly the same situation. And when they go through it, one of those two people, all they see is the problems, and they allow the situation to just completely wipe them out because all they see is what's wrong. The other person in the same situation, exactly the same situation, says, boy, this is tough, but they see some opportunity in it, and though it's tough, they say, you know what? I'm going to do what I can do in this situation. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference? The difference isn't the situation they're in. The difference isn't the problem. They're both are in exactly the same problem. The difference is their attitude to the problem. Paul said, I can. Now, this isn't proper English, but everybody here is going to understand this. Everybody here is either an I canner or an I caner. Amen? Not on the English, but on the truth of it. Isn't that right? So you got to ask yourself, am I a canner? I I can. Listen to me. That's attitude. I can. I can. But I can.
Let me illustrate. Israel is in Egyptian bondage for over 400 years. God says to Moses, okay, I'm letting them out. Go get them. Moses goes down into Egypt. The whole situation with the plagues and all that. Moses leads them out of Egypt. You got it? They're out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea and they come to the base of Mount Sinai and they set up camp there and they stay there for a good period of time and Moses goes up and receives the law. You with me? They then leave Sinai after a long period of time. They leave Sinai and now they are marching to the promised land. The land that God had promised them, go in and take it. So they march and they come up to the front door, as it were, of the promised land. They come to Kadesh Barnea. God had told them, go in, take the land, it's your land. And instead of doing that, they selected 12 spies to go into the land, to spy out the land, and then those 12 spies came back, and when they came back, there were two reports that were filed with Moses. There was a majority report signed by 10 of those 12 spies, and there was a minority report signed by just two of them. The majority report said, listen, it is a land filled with milk and honey, just like God said it was. It's wonderful. This is great. But those people are giants, and if we go in there, they're going to clean our clocks, and we need to stay out of there. The minority report was then read, signed by just two guys, Joshua and Caleb. Their report said, yes, it is a land that flows with milk and honey, just like God said it was. Yeah, it's great and it's wonderful. Yeah, those people are huge. Now, let's go up at once and take control of the land. What was the difference? The difference was faith and attitude. That was the difference. Ask yourself this. How many people have remained unreached with the gospel because we have the same attitude that the 10 spies had? We can't reach them. What is involved in our great verse of the Bible? What is involved in Philippians 4:13? Number one, accountability, I. Number two, attitude, can. I can. Word number three, I want you to write it down, is the word action. Action. Paul said, I can do. That is action, right? That's action. Brethren, Christianity is a religion of do. Paul said, I can do, not I can wait. Paul said, I can do, not I can hope. I can do. That's action. That what is involved in that verse is you, the individual, the one accountable, you have to have an attitude that will take action. Jesus is described This is a one-sentence autobiography of Jesus. In Acts, the 10th chapter, and in verse 38, it is said of Jesus that he went about doing good. Jesus was a doer. He was a man of action. The greatest sermon ever preached was Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus says that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine... Now, stop for a moment. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine... What is he talking about? He's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Those were the words that that crowd just heard outside that mountain. Jesus says, whosoever hears the Sermon on the Mount, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's action, whosoever hears this sermon and takes this sermon and put it into action, that is a wise man whose house, that house is your life, whose life is built upon a foundation, and when the storm comes, it'll survive. But Jesus says, whoever hears this sermon and doesn't put it into action is like a foolish person who takes their life and builds their life on a foundation of sand. When the storm comes, they're going to be wiped out. The difference was not hearing. The difference was action. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What is involved in our great verse of the Bible? What is involved? What's involved is accountability. I. What's involved in that great verse? What is involved is attitude. I can. What is involved in that great verse? What is involved is action. I can do. Word number four. Write this down. It is the word aspiration. I can do all things. Aspiration. All things. Brethren, anything that is within the will of God, and that is within the scope of my ability, I can do it. I can do it. I wish I could drive this point into our hearts and into our minds. We are capable of so much more than we think we are. We think that our level is here when it's up through the roof. I can do his aspiration, all things. All things. If it's within the will of Christ, it's within my scope, I can do it. Yeah, I can. I can do this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that we ask or think. Now hear the end of that. According to the power that is at work in us. In us. The Bible is filled with people who thought they were I-canters.
The Bible is filled. It's filled with people who did not initially see themselves as an all things I can do person. Look, Moses, remember that conversation? Lord, what'd you say? You want me to do what? Go where? Talk to who? And then he did one of these things. If I could talk, remember that? I can't do it. I have a speech impediment. So what did he tell him to do? Take Aaron with you. Aaron's going to be the mouthpiece. Let me tell you what you do. You go home and read your Bible and count how many speeches Aaron made over Moses. Moses didn't see himself as I can do all things. Moses saw himself as, Lord, you've been in the sun too long. Is that what he said? He protested to death. Nobody in the Old Testament ended up being greater than Moses. But he didn't start that way. What about Rahab? Y'all know what Rahab was? You know what she did for a living? Turned the red light on. Figure it out from there. Rahab was a prostitute. Did God use Rahab? You bet he did. You bet he did. And yet you sitting there, well, God can't do nothing with me. You know what? I wouldn't say that out loud. He used a prostitute. And he can't do something with you? That puts you below that. Amen? I'm just trying to reason here. I'm going to give you another one. Matthew. You know what he did for a living? According to the Jews, he's about a step below the Rahab. Matthew was a tax collector. A tax collector was a traitor in the mind of the... Listen, a tax collector was the lowest form of life you could have. Did God use him? God used him to write a gospel. He wrote a book. He wrote one of 27 books in the New Testament. And you sitting there talking about you can't do nothing. That's personal accountability. That's not you. That's not him, her, them. It's me. I can, that's attitude, do, that's action. I can do all things, that's aspiration. Well, you think, listen, it's not about me, it's what God can do through me, and God can do some big stuff. Number six. That's what I said, number five. Accountability, can, attitude, do, action, all things, aspiration, fifth word, through Christ, the word is authority. Authority. Through Christ. The authority of this is resting upon Jesus Christ. It's not resting upon me. Do you understand? You know what we don't understand? We don't understand what authority means. We don't. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. The Father relinquished authority for a time to the Son. Is that what he said? If Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth, then who else has got some? The word authority means power, but it's more than power. The word authority there is a word that means power, but the one with the power has the authority, which is the power not only to command, but the authority or the power to command with what he's commanding to be obeyed. It's authority. Listen, what I do doesn't rest on Calvin. What I do doesn't rest on Wesley. What I do doesn't rest on Campbell. What I do doesn't rest on the Pope. What I do rests on the authority, the power of Jesus Christ. I can do all things, but I can't do it through me. I'm pitiful, and so are you. I'll confess your sin too. I can do it, but I can't do it through me. I can't do it through my parents, but I can do it through Christ. That's where the authority rests. No other foundation can no man lay which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. John 14, 6. That is authority, and it's through Christ. And when I hook up through Christ, in and with the power of Christ, I can do whatever he wills for me to do. But I gotta have the action and the attitude to get up and do it. I can't do it with the remote in my hand.
Word number six. Write it down. Word number six is the word assurance. Assurance. Paul ends it by saying, which strengtheneth me. Now I want you to get this and we're gone. I can do all things through Christ. Now here is the assurance. Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now let me tell you something you've already figured out, but sometimes we forget part of it. You and I are not going to make it through this life without some hardships. You and I are not going to make it through this life without some difficulty and some trial. But let me tell you, before the difficulty, the next difficulty, and the next trial comes, we already have the assurance when these things come that God will supply us with what we need. Six verses after our great verse of the Bible in Philippians 4:13, six verses later in verse 19, Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So my assurance is that as I take accountability with the right action to put myself into action through the authority of Jesus Christ to do what is in his will, that when I come to a rough spot, the power of God will supply my need. Look at the verse one more time, and then I got two thoughts to close with. I, that's accountability. That's Fox. That's me.
I can. That's attitude. But if you're saying I can't, your body's not going to let you can it. I, accountability, can, that's attitude, do, that's action, all things, that's aspiration, through Christ, that's the authority through which I'm doing it, and which strengthens me is the assurance that when life tumbles in, I'm going to climb the mountain. I'm going to climb the mountain. Two thoughts in closing. Thought number one is this. I want you to think about the difference your life would be if you took in the depths of that one verse. Think about how different your life would be if you took to heart the depth of that verse. I can do this. Because it isn't about me or through me. It's about Christ and through Him. I can do this. Think about the difference your life would take. And secondly, in closing, think about the man who wrote that verse. The great enemy of Christianity. The great persecutor of Christianity. The man who, when the book of Acts comes to a close, is in Rome under house arrest. And the book of Acts closes by telling us that Paul was incarcerated for 2 years in Rome. During those 2 years is when Paul wrote 4 epistles of the New Testament that we call prison epistles, and one of them is the book of Philippians. Here was a guy in jail who still believed he could be used by God and was. You know why? Because Paul believed with all of his heart, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's a great verse of the Bible. It'll make a difference in your life, but we got to take it to heart. If you're here this afternoon, if you're not a Christian, we bid you to obey the gospel. If you're here this afternoon, if you're away from God, we're going to sing the first stanza of the invitation song. If you need to come, you can let it be known right now as together we stand and as we sing.